Holy Word to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Our text today is Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And if you would please stand with me as we hear the Word of God read. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then also in the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. You may be seated, please. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Father, we rejoice to be yours. We delight, Lord, to be together as your people. Lord, you made us and you take care of us. How we thank you that this is your world. How we thank you that you made it to praise you and love you and adore you. And even though Adam rebelled against you and spoiled your creation, Lord, how we thank you that you came and you preached the gospel as you cursed the serpent. As you rescued Adam and Eve, Lord, you proclaimed that message of life and hope that in the fullness of time, the seed of the woman would come who would crush the serpent's head. And so, Lord Jesus, we glory in you. And we pray that this day you would come and walk in our midst. And that, Lord, you would show us your glory. That you would press your gospel anew upon our hearts to claim us as your little children. Lord, that if there be any in this place who are apart from you, Lord, this day you would speak your powerful word and call them out of darkness into your marvelous light, granting them repentance and faith in you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, teach us this day what life is all about. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text, we have a passage of Scripture that concludes in verse 8 with this summary, statement. After all of these instructions that the Lord has given to Joshua, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." The portion of Scripture that we're going to look at together this morning is one that has great significance for you, our graduates. But it is something also that has great significance for all of us. And so even though I'm going to be addressing much of the application, not all, to you young people, this is something that is very important for all of us to learn about what real success is in life, to have God's definition of success. You graduates have reached a milestone in life. Milestones are events, as you look back over your life, that are momentous. Very important events that when you come to, it's like a new chapter that is opening up for you. An accomplishment has been achieved by the grace of God, and now there is a sense of a beginning of a new phase of life. And as you have indeed reached a momentous occasion of graduation from either high school or college or the police academy, you all are on the edge now of a new era in your life. And so as we look at this passage together, there is very practical instruction and encouragement how to live life, real life, life that is found only in knowing and loving and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's definition of success. To succeed in being and doing what God created you to be. Made in His image and remade now, restored in His Son, Jesus Christ. There are three things particularly that we're going to see in this passage of Scripture that if we would have success, whether we are young or old or in between, that we must know and have. And you can't have any of them apart from Jesus Christ. The first of all is an awareness and an understanding of the workings of God. An awareness and an understanding of the workings of God. We call that the providence of God. That God has a plan, and He is working that plan out. You cannot have success in life unless you understand who God is, who you are, and what your place is in this world. We see that in verses 1 and 2. God comes to Joshua, His servant. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people." This passage of Scripture where we have Joshua now beginning a new phase in his life. It was a new era in the life of this man of God. He was a man who had spent the bulk of his life being taught. You think it's a long time to go through high school and college? Well, in a sense, Joshua wasn't graduating until he was way up in years. Joshua and Caleb were the only men who had survived because they had been men of faith. All of the rest of the men of war had died wandering in the wilderness. We read in the book of Joshua that Caleb, when the conquest took place, he was about 85 years old. And Joshua was his contemporary. All those years, Joshua had been preparing for this great work. And he understood now God had a plan. God orders our steps. He gives life. He had equipped Joshua. He had given him a teacher. And now in God's plan, in God's time, God took his teacher away. God called Joshua now to take his stand, to do the work that God had called him to do. We live in a universe where God is God, where he reigns. In spite of what the United States Supreme Court might say, God is still God. In spite of the president and the political parties that vie for power in this country, both Republican and Democrat, God is still God. He rules and he reigns. And if you would have success, you must understand that. You must be aware that there is a God who reigns on high. And the child of God who is trusting in Jesus has the sweet knowledge and privilege and power of knowing that we are in his hands, nail-scarred hands, who hold us and our future. We look to him, our sovereign creator and sustainer, to give us life and blessing and meaning and peace and salvation and direction, knowing right and wrong from his holy word, the scriptures. You see, you can't know God or the plan of God unless you know Jesus Christ revealed in Holy Scripture. And so this passage of Scripture is going to emphasize over and over and over the importance of knowing the Word of God, of having the Word of God be that which you feed upon and read and you humble yourself before. And you talk to others about, and you delight to sit at the feet of those who would read the Word and explain the Word, and you are hungry for that Word, and you fill your heart with the truth of God's Word. For you cannot know, you cannot be aware of the God who rules and reigns, and understand clearly your part, your place in his plan without knowing Jesus Christ revealed in Holy Scripture. You can't separate Jesus from the written word. Those who do end up with a Jesus other than the true and the living Savior. And Joshua was a man now who comes to this milestone and he is reminded of God, his providence, his plan. We see in verse 1 that it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. You are going to face all kinds of difficulties and heartaches in life. There are going to be people who will die. The generation that is older than you in God's providence, we will all leave the scene in God's time, and you will be left as Joshua was, to stand alone but with Christ to serve the living God. The providence of God. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Guard your heart, young people. Guard your heart, old gray hairs. fill your heart with the truth of God's Word, and then you will have eyes to see and ears to hear the King of Glory leading you. Then you will see clearly your place in God's providence to take your stand. In verse 2, we see, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people. You will see many things change in your life. Joshua saw all kinds of amazing things. When Joshua was a young man, God's people were slaves in Egypt. Joshua saw the mighty plagues come upon Egypt. God saw Joshua attached to Moses as his apprentice. God's providence, God's plan. And Joshua was there through it all. He learned many things, but now Moses dies, and it's time for Joshua to take his stand. And you young people, if you would have success in life, you have to have a clear understanding of God's plan. His plan is revealed in Holy Scripture. Know His Word. Know His Word. Read His Word. Study His Word. Do you see the hand of God? Do you understand clearly that God made you and that you need a Savior and the Lord Jesus? Have you repented and run to Jesus to wash your sins away? Are you one who delights to see by faith the Lamb upon His throne and that He is at work in this fallen world? The providence of God. God has a plan. The second thing we see in this passage of Scripture is, not only do you need an awareness and a clear understanding of the providence of God to have the glasses of Scripture to be able to see what you ought to be doing, but secondly, you need the instruction of God. And again, we are driven to the Word of God. You hear people talk about, well, God told me this and God told me that. And you desperately, like me, like all of us, we need to know, what does God say? What does God want me to believe and do? God gives us instruction. Again, in verse 1, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua. If you would have success, you must not only see the plan of God and a God who holds history and holds you, but you must also hear and heed the word of Almighty God. God spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. The instruction of God. God giving instruction. Down in verse 8, and we'll come back to this again, but this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. The Word of God ought to be that which we delight to feed upon, so that we might follow the Lamb. God gives us instruction for life. We look to Him. We listen to Him as He speaks to us by His Spirit, through His Word, the Bible. Have you heard the voice of Jesus calling you to Himself? Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, the Apostle Paul describes how these Ephesian pagans had become Christians. And in Ephesians, chapter 2, in verse 17, he reveals, He came and preached peace to you who were far away, these pagan Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, the Jews. For through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. In Romans chapter 10, we read that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. When the Word of God is read, when you read it, the Lord Jesus is speaking to you. When the Word of God is faithfully read publicly and faithfully proclaimed, the Lord Jesus is speaking His Word, His very Word, the Holy Scriptures, His holy, infallible, life-giving Word. The same Word that spoke and things which did not exist came into being. And if you would have success, you must hear the Word of Almighty God and heed the Gospel. You must hear Jesus. In Psalm 22, we read in verse 22, the Lord Jesus declaring, I will tell of the Father's name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. This passage is quoted over in Hebrews chapter 2, in a passage that reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is not ashamed to own us as His brothers, and He comes in the midst of the assembly of God's people, revealing the Father's name. And if you would have success, then you must be one who hears day in and day out the Lord Jesus calling you unto Himself to trust and obey. You must hear Him as the great shepherd in Psalm 23. What is one of the things that the great shepherd does? He feeds us. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Have you heard the great shepherd leading you in His paths of righteousness? Have you heard Him correcting you when you stray from the path? Oh, of all the things that would be important for us to take note of this day is that we ought to be a people who delight to be corrected by the Lord Jesus. If you would have success, you must hear. You must be instructed by this living Savior, the Lord Jesus. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord paints for us a picture. And you remember in the Old Testament, men like David, Solomon, Hezekiah, men who loved the Lord, and yet men who at various points in their lives stumbled badly. David stumbled badly. He committed adultery and murder to cover his tracks. And yet the Lord Jesus graciously came after him and called him anew to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. King Solomon, for a vast segment of his adult life, walked in unbelief. But the Lord Jesus graciously came and reclaimed him anew to himself. And King Solomon's testimony is the book of Ecclesiastes. Or Hezekiah, who walked with God, and yet after God graciously came and healed him and gave him life, Hezekiah walked in pride and arrogance. And the Lord tested him so that Hezekiah would see what was in his own heart. Yes, if you would have success, you must listen to Jesus. And He speaks to us by His Spirit through His holy Word, the Bible. hunger for the Word of God. Spend time with Jesus in the Word of God. We who have heard His sweet voice calling us to trust in Him. Life is following Jesus. A Christian is not just somebody who has been converted, but a Christian is a disciple. The Lord Jesus called disciples unto Himself. The Great Commission is to make disciples. You see, conversion is important. Conversion is the beginning. Conversion is when we experience being transferred from the realm of darkness to the realm of light, where we repent and believe in Jesus. For Saul of Tarsus, he was a grown man on his way to Damascus to murder Christians. And the Lord Jesus converted him, changed his heart. For others, like John Baptist, he never knew a day when he did not love Christ. Whatever your experience, there was a point in time, if you're a Christian, when Almighty God reached His hand down and took out your heart of stone and gave you a heart of believing in Jesus. But that is like with a human. When we first are given life, it's just the beginning, and we grow and grow and grow. 9 months you grow in your mother's womb, and then you're born, and then you continue to grow. And there are those that God graciously provides to feed and clothe and care and nurture you. And then the day comes when you can stand on your own. But a Christian is somebody who, while we've been converted, we follow Jesus, and we never outgrow Him taking care of us. And sadly, vast segments of the evangelical church in our country have lost sight of this important truth that Christians are not just people who have been converted, but people who are disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if you would have success, we must hear the voice of Jesus, not only calling us when we first became a believer, but all the rest of our days. And then the final thing we see in this passage of Scripture is if we would have success, we need to know not only the providence of God and the instruction of God, but we need to know the promises and presence of God. We need to experience and continue to experience the promises and the presence of Almighty God. This passage in Joshua chapter 1 emphasizes much about Joshua being one who would walk with God and experience the joy of feeding upon a God, of having fellowship with God, and of having a consciousness of the presence of God. You see, God is always present. Psalm 139 describes how you can't go any place in God's universe and God is not there. Even in hell, there is the presence of God. No, it is not the smile of God, but that is what God is calling Joshua to experience. It is this consciousness of the presence of God so that we have His smile in Jesus Christ. To be close to God, to be friends with the living God. We see in this passage of Scripture God coming and reminding Joshua that he was the one who had provided Moses. And now God has taken Moses home. And now it is time for Joshua to take to heart the promises of God. We see in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving you, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you just as I spoke to Moses. There is this passing down from generation to generation of the promises of God, of the vision of this is God's world. And He has given His Son to come and to claim His rightful territory back. That was what God was reminding Joshua, these promises that had been given in the Garden of Eden that God graciously gave in greater detail to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and then Joseph and then Moses. Yes, Joshua was being reminded of the promises of the gospel, of God's revelation of Himself in the Christ to save His people and to reclaim this fallen world. The promised land was just but a little glimmer, a little down payment. If you'll turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Romans, chapter 4. And here we see Joshua's forefather in the faith, Abraham. And what is it that God had promised? He had promised the promised land to Abraham, among many other things. He had promised that one of his descendants would be a blessing to all the nations of the world. Look at verse 13. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It wasn't just the promised land in Palestine that God had envisioned. It was but just the first installment of a much greater and much more glorious work that God had intended. It was to reclaim this entire world for the glory of God. That in the fullness of time, His Son would come. And Joshua now is privileged to have his part for a short time upon the stage of life to serve the living God. And the promises of God inflamed Joshua's heart. The promises of God instructed this man of God in the paths that he ought to walk. And he is reminded that these promises are only going to be useful and a blessing and instructive for goodness and yield success because God is with him. To be his Savior and to be his constant guide and companion and the source of his life. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. And if you would have success, young and old, then we must be those who hear the Lord Jesus whispering His promises of hope that there is a Redeemer in the midst of this messed up world. With all of the brokenness and confusion and heartache and sorrow and rebellion that we see around us and at times, sadly, even in our own hearts, there is a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He has come to claim His rightful territory. Not only your own heart, not only your family, not only your calling, but the nations of this world rightly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ called Joshua to an amazing work. To lead the children of Israel into a land where there were giants. A land where there were fortified cities with huge, tall walls and towers and armaments. And what was Joshua's success going to depend upon? His own physical strength that he worked out three times a day and he could bench press 500 pounds. No, I don't know whether he could or not. But his success depended upon the Lord Jesus going before him. We do not have time this morning to look in detail, but as we see the conquest of Palestine, God fulfilling His promises, using this man Joshua, Moses' servant, this man of God, We see the Lord Jesus with Joshua. And I want you to turn with me over in the book of Joshua. We'll just look at one little section, Joshua chapter 5. The very first city that was to be captured was a city called Jericho. Jericho is the city now that is before them. And the book of Hebrews tells us something really interesting about this conquest. You remember we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that it was by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And in Joshua chapter 5, we read in verse 13, God calls the children of Israel to rededicate themselves. For the first time since they had left Egypt, none of that generation had received the mark of God upon them. And God calls upon them to give themselves anew to the Christ from the heart, to have their hearts circumcised. And then God calls upon them to apply the sign that they belong to the living God upon themselves. And they named that place Gilgal. In Joshua chapter 5, they celebrate then the Passover. And so we'll start reading in verse 8. Now, when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. And then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. It means rolling away. "While the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the desert plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land." You see how God was with His people, how God was present, caring for them. And while God has ceased to send down that kind of manna, yet the living God, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, He promises that He will be with you. Hebrews 13 says, "For the Lord Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' Therefore we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me?'" Or promises like Romans 8:28, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." And so whether it is that you face the loss of your job, how are you going to weather storms like that? Let's say that you get a job and you lose your job. How are you going to face it? Are you going to despair of life? Or are you going to be one who says, "Well, I know that God is with me because He has promised. And He's promised that He's going to take care of me." So evidently the Lord has things He wants to teach me in this difficult circumstance. He's teaching me to trust in Him. "Lord, I don't know how you're going to provide for me and my family in these days, but I trust that you will." Evidently, Lord, you have another place for me to serve you. And this isn't what I had planned, but Lord, you are good. Your providence is good, and I can rest in you, and I want to follow you. Lord, I want to be close to you. And so, Lord, take me and use me. And in your good time, open up another job for me. Whatever you want me to do to serve you, that is my delight. You see, that's how God calls us to live. And the Lord has recorded these things in His Word that we might be reminded of God's faithfulness and goodness in the past to keep us in the midst of the storms of life until God reveals to us here is my good dealings with you. And sometimes it's not until we reach the very gates of heaven that the Lord reveals some of the amazing works that He is doing. But in the meantime, if you would have success, it is to trust and obey Jesus, whether it is easy or whether it is hard. And you need the promises in the presence of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit. God had called Joshua now to come and lead the armies against this fortified city of Jericho. How in the world will that happen? The same God who had provided manna from heaven and who had now brought them into a land where they had food to eat, the manna ceased. God takes care of His people. May the Lord write that upon our hearts, that we might trust and obey Jesus and know success. Success is following Jesus. That's how God measures success. It's not measured from the standpoint of the world, whether you have position or whether you have popularity or whether you have possessions or whether you even have pleasure. That is not God's measure of success, unlike the world. God's measure of success is, have you trusted and obeyed Jesus? That's success. And so, verse 13, now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And so God had told Joshua, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I'll be with you. Be strong. Be courageous. Now this man who is standing beside Joshua all of a sudden, Joshua is standing there looking. Perhaps he was praying. Lord, how do we attack this city? This is a fortified city, and all of a sudden there is a warrior, a soldier standing there. And Joshua sees him, and he's ready for battle. He has his sword drawn, and what does Joshua do? He goes up to this one, and he says, are you for us or for our adversaries? Now, the implication of that question is, if the answer is, I'm with you, Joshua, then Joshua was going to graciously invite him to be a part of his army. Come on, you can join. Fall in. Or if this warrior says, well, I'm for Jericho, then Joshua, the implication was, the question is, either get in the ranks or let's get it on. And the answer to this question, indeed, is thrilling. Are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no. Wrong question. Rather, I come now as captain of the host of the Lord. I come as the commander of the armies of heaven and earth. I come as the commander-in-chief. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. And if you would have success, then we must be those who understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared to Joshua, is the one who is with you. With me, leading us, going before us. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, very familiar passage of Scripture. I imagine you could quote it, but I want you to see it in print. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And I want you to look at the tense of that verb. He doesn't say all authority in heaven and on earth will be given to me. When I come again in glory, then authority will be... No, the Lord Jesus Christ says all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And on what basis do we go forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to live life and plant His flag? Not only in our heart, but in our homes, in the workplace, calling all the institutions of this land, including civil government, to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge that He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. To acknowledge that this is His world. What right do we have? Who do we think we are? Well, I am a nobody. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator and the sustainer of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who is the Lord. All authority has been given to me, Jesus said, in heaven and on earth. And then we have this commission. Going therefore, make disciples of all the nations. The Lord Jesus has given His church, His people, the task of seeing this world reclaimed for the glory of God. That, no wonder it's called the Great Commission. That's a pretty great job, isn't it? Well, the one who sends us is great. He is the ruler of the universe. Even though there are many who don't acknowledge it, nonetheless, that is who our Lord Jesus is. And those who refuse to acknowledge it, they are the ones who are suffering and will suffer great distress. Those who acknowledge Jesus, even though it may be difficult for us for a short time to love Jesus, that is the path of peace and blessing and joy. It is life. To spend your life serving Jesus. Jesus says that we are to go and make disciples of the nations, calling people to repent and believe, and then putting the mark of Jesus upon His people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. God's Word again. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so, are you afraid? I can remember when I graduated from high school, I was afraid. I knew that things would never be the same. And then when I graduated from college, I thought, wowzers, things are really, really not going to be the same. And then when I graduated from seminary, I thought, you know, Lord, You've been kind and faithful and gracious. You've got work for me to do. What joy. And so I pray that as you know the presence and promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will grant you great success. The Lord Jesus Christ says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May the Lord bless you, graduates, to trust and obey Jesus. As you rest in His providence, as you listen to His instruction, and as you experience by the grace of God His promises and His presence, may the Lord bless you with great success. To trust and obey Jesus. To spend your life serving Him. How we praise God for such a Savior. And how we praise God for each of you young people. May the Lord pour forth His Spirit upon you this day. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we beg that You would write upon our hearts and lives Your precious gospel. And that, Lord, You would bless us Lord, many of us, we have had struggles and we have stumbled. Lord, reclaim us this day. May we hear your sweet voice. And Lord, for these young people, bless them, encourage them, give them great joy to follow you. Go before us, Lord Jesus, as you have promised, and as we see this example and reminder of how you blessed your servant Joshua. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are at work in this fallen world. And Lord, we delight to be yours. We give ourselves to you, and we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.